Hey. Yeah, you. Hey. I'm talking to you. Don't tell anybody, but this is Billy West. For real, I'm really here. And, do I gotta prove it? All right. Hey, shut up and take my money. Shut up, you young idiot.
Shut up, both of you.
I don't care. Tell me to shut up. Tell me to talk. I'll talk.
Well, anyway, what these people are trying to say is, this is Project Nerd.
Well, folks, it's time to kick it old school. So you can feel cool. Give it to me, baby. Yeah.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Nerdcast, episode 136, brought to you by Project Nerd, or from Project Nerd, more so. I am one of your three hosts here, Iggy. I'm joined by Tyler and Adam, of course. Hello, gentlemen.
What up?
Yo.
And we are returning from a not quite as long hiatus as last winter, but another short absence due to the many, many amazing things going on in the geek world. Really, a lot of stuff going on, as well as I think all of us are a little overworked. Well, two-thirds of us at least. But anyways, lots to talk about because it has been...
Bro, I've got a job interview.
Awesome, man.
Don't worry, I'm going to start. It's part-time. Let's not get too excited, but it's going to be awesome. Don't worry about it.
I think we were referrals for that, so... I wrote a glowing letter of recommendation for you, so hopefully that pans out. Anyways, episode 136, we are here again, Adam, Tyler, Iggy, for another exciting episode. And wow, last time we met and talked and had a great, fun, and exciting time. It was Spider-Man Homecoming was still fresh. We had just gotten back from Omaha Comic-Con, didn't even know that Project Nerd was going to be at San Diego Comic-Con at that time, which panned out very nicely. And we talk a little bit about that, as well as it was July, the beginning of July. And now we're in August. If anybody's curious, it is already August this year. This year has just flown by. So it is an exciting time. Not so much for movies. It seems like we're in a few week lull. We were just talking about Fantasy Movie League, so we'll chime in more on that here in this episode. But exciting things going on nonetheless. So what have you guys been up to? I mean, besides work, Tyler?
Mostly just that. I did see a couple movies in the last few weeks. I saw Valerian and Dunkirk. And is that it? Is there anything else out right now? Saw Valerian and Dunkirk.
Did you see Atomic Blonde?
I haven't seen Atomic Blonde yet. I do want to. Oh, I saw The Big Sick, too.
Yeah, we talked about that last time. What'd you think?
It was good. I enjoyed it a lot. I've always been I like Kumail a lot, and it was fun. Everyone in it was really good, so I enjoyed it a lot. It's very funny.
All right, so Valerian already kind of getting. It's already like I don't think it's even. Is it even in our fantasy movie league anymore? Like I don't remember seeing it in there. Was it like at the bottom? Okay. It's just not being loved at all. So what'd you think, Tyler, about that one specifically?
It's, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely ambitious. I feel like he reached far, but then kind of like dialed it back to try and, I'm watching it and there's some really cool stuff and there's some neat things that are just out there and weird, but I think he dialed it back a little bit to make it more accessible, to make a story and make it a little bit more accessible. And it was, the really fun stuff in it had nothing to do with the plot, and anything that ended up tying into the plot then became immediately boring because the plot was boring. And I like Dane DeHaan well enough, and I don't have a problem with Cara Delevingne. I don't think she's done a lot to really warrant her on one side or the other, but they, as the leads, were really, really boring. Just horribly boring. I don't know what it was. I don't know if the script wasn't great. Like the writing is, a lot of the things they had to say, like their words were, I'm not going to go like on a scale of like, what's the scale? Like, I'm not going to go there on a scale of Lucas to Sorkin. Like they're real close to Lucas. I'm not going to say they're like Lucas level, but they're somewhere in that vicinity of Lucas. So, and they just had him playing weird characters that just weren't, they were boring, but there's so much stuff in it. That's, I mean, it's LeBasson. So it's out there and it's beautiful and it's fun to watch, but it's just overall kind of empty. There's some really cool scenes in it. And there's some really weird scenes in it. Like Rihanna has this really kind of, just the movie stops for a solid like 20 minutes for her to do this, for him to go to this weird like red light district and her do this very weird and sexy shape-shifting almost striptease kind of thing, and it's kind of cool. And then as soon as it's over, she joins like the regular plot and immediately becomes a super boring, terrible character. Ethan Hawke has a little scene in it just playing like the super over the top off the wall character, and he's in it for like half a second.
Clive Owen, say.
I don't know, there's a lot of things going on. Clive Owen, you know, whatever, a lot of people popping in. Rutger Hauer has a moment. There's some really good movies. Like the opening sequence, there's this opening sequence that kind of explains where the City of a Thousand Planets came from, and it's probably the best sequence in the entire movie. Like it's this really fun montage, and I don't want to like spoil it if anyone's going to go see the movie, but the way it explains, like without any like subtitles or exposition text and stuff, just explains like the origins of the City of a Thousand Planets, and it's really well done with like just like a musical montage kind of thing. And the world itself is.
Hold on. So I was going to say like 20 minutes later here, I'm still not sure whether Tyler likes this movie or not. Adam, do you know? Cause I can't figure it out by the way he's talking about it. Cause one second he's like super bored, but there's
it's not a good movie. It's kind of boring and it doesn't really accomplish much. But there are some really well done set pieces. I wouldn't put it in the same category of like Jupiter Ascending, but it's kind of close. Like where there's this really cool, beautiful world underneath the surface, and then they chose to tell like the most banal, like boring story that inhabits it. And it just is kind of like, meh, doesn't make you really care. Yeah, at no point do you really care about any of the characters in it. The plot's very.
Adam, I'm sure you caught Dunkirk as well. You were looking forward to that one.
Oh yeah. Definitely saw Dunkirk in it. I mean, I don't think it disappointed anybody. I mean, I'd hope it doesn't disappoint anybody. I think it's a fantastic movie. And I think Nolan did a tremendous job. I really like how he tells his stories and that he doesn't do a lot of hand holding. He gives some basic explanations and then just moves right along. So within the first, 10 minutes, you're introduced to kind of three sets, like three groupings of people. And for the first grouping, it gives a time period underneath it for a week. And the second grouping gives a time period underneath it for a day. And the third grouping gives a time period for an hour. And that's... the story is told through those three groups of people, and that's how long you're kind of witnessing their part of the story. And so it's really interesting, but they never really explain that. And so at the end, you're like, oh, I kind of see what, like, I get it, but it was fantastic. And it's those freaking, the sound editing is phenomenal. And I think it's going to win a bunch of awards. He was the writer. I don't think he'll get a writing nomination because there's just not much dialogue there. It's like a 28 page script. It's a comic book basically.
Yeah. It's not going to get any screenplay or acting awards, but it will definitely win some technical awards. It may very well win for best original score too. Kills it.
Yeah, he does. And I could see it doing some of the ensemble awards because I think everybody does a good job. I don't know if there's enough there all together, even with everybody, to get, if there's, whatever the limitations are. I know we've seen some crazy stuff from the Academy in the past when we thought, what is that? What's the movie about the drummer?
Whiplash.
Yeah. We thought Whiplash would get best score nominations, but it doesn't meet the requirements. And so I'm sure there's some requirements out there that it may or may not manage in terms of words spoken and scenes interacted and that kind of stuff. But I thought the cast did a fantastic job. I thought All the actors in their roles were amazing. Kenneth Branagh didn't even know he was in it and shows up and kills it like he usually does. So yeah, I thought it was fantastic. And I think it easily, I haven't seen all the movies obviously, but easily a front runner for best picture. I gotta think.
So since we last met, yeah, Dunkirk, Valerian, I think were the two, at least for us, the two big ones. I mean, pretty much the two big ones that release theaters. And it sounds like Dunkirk delivers, Valerian not so much. And I would agree. I think, Adam, you kind of pointed out that Dunkirk didn't fail for many. So it sounds like that's consensus on both. The only thing that's keeping Valerian from being dogged to no end is that the Emoji Movie, I don't know, is that still 0% on Rotten Tomatoes? Because that was getting destroyed. And I
think it crept up to like a 1.2 or something, because I saw some reviews that were not all the way read. And so I think that pulled them up, but it's not I don't know. It's frustrating. I wonder who sells that script? Who got paid to make that a thing? Like the idea of it, not just like, I know all the actors and everybody, you know, the animators, it's not their fault. I don't blame them, but somebody somewhere said, you know, it'd be a good idea. We're going to make a movie about emojis. And
somebody got it. And they got at least a year's salary for one script. Yeah. I mean, we're talking six figures for this.
Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah, I have not heard anything positive about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's made more money than Valerian. It's made $49 million already. So, I mean,
where's Valerian at?
Valerian made almost two and a half this weekend. So it's almost just over $36 million for its entire run.
Ouch! Ouch! It's, and that what was the budget on that?
About 180.
Yeah.
So it needs a. I don't know how wide it's, that's domestic, obviously. Like Valerian's one of those movies that I could see it making. Yeah, it's already made $51 million worldwide, and I don't know what countries it's not in or not in yet. So, like, it'll make its money back barely, but only because it's going to do well foreign. Has it opened in China yet? It hasn't opened in China, but it made $12 million in France, which is, it's a French movie, French source material, which $12 million is pretty good for a French opening. And it's only been, it didn't open in France until like the 26th. It's made $7 million in Germany. It's made a little over $1 million in Thailand. So it'll open in China. Has it opened in Japan yet? Hasn't opened in China. It'll open in China, Japan, and make, I would be surprised if it doesn't make its money back. But it's going to be a close thing. So I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't seen either. I need to see Dunkirk in theaters because of the audio. I've been told like it's got to be a theatrical experience. Valerian, I think, I've made the judgment call at this point that I'm probably going to wait until home video. But I still want to see it. I want to see it for sure. Awesome. So that's big. I think this weekend we have, what, Annabelle sequel coming out. So a little horror movie. We were just pointing out when we were looking at Fantasy Movie League. I didn't realize this until I was just picking movies, but Nut Job 2. So there's a Nut Job sequel, I guess. I didn't even realize the first one did anything to qualify for a sequel, but I don't know. It's there. And then, of course, as we mentioned, Valerian at the very bottom of the Fantasy Movie League because it's not making a whole lot of money. So I don't know. Interesting to see. We're in that beginning August lull. It's like it's normal now movie season. You get the July blockbusters, August starts slow, and then by the end of August, early September, you get a few more big hits to close out the summer. Now actually that carries into September, October, November. Like movie season's all year long now. It's no longer just summer. But we are that few week point to where there's nothing huge happening, so go catch up on some Valerian, I guess. I don't know.
No, go see The Dark Tower. Dark Tower came out this last weekend. Oh, yeah,
that's right.
It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. We were talking a little bit about it beforehand. It's getting, I guess, I still haven't read any of their reviews, so I don't know what they're saying. I try not to read reviews until I go see a movie, if I'm going to see it, because I don't want it to like cloud my judgment of what the film is. I enjoyed The Dark Tower. I don't know if it's a, I don't know if I would say it's a good movie, but I enjoyed it. And so, and I'm okay with that. I think they made the mistake in not kind of setting it apart from the books. I think they got stuck between wanting to utilize the book fans to make money and then not utilize the source material so they don't cloud out a bunch of people who haven't read, you know, whatever it ends up being at the end of 7 books from Stephen King, something like 5,500 pages or something crazy like that. I can't remember what the total is for the full series, but you know, so they ran into a hard place. I think they had started with, we're going to make a movie that exists in the Dark Tower world, but is not from the books. We're going to tell essentially an alternate story in this world. I think it would have made more people happy. I think their problem was, like I said, kind of toeing that line to get the people who love the books into the movie theater and get their dollars. But overall, I think it was a pretty good movie. There's, you know, not going to be winning any awards or anything like that. The dialogue was a little weak, but I think the acting was very good. The kid who played Jake, good. Idris Elba, Matthew McConaughey. I think they added something to their characters, as you know, I've read some of the books, so I think they brought something to the movie, but it bums me out that it's getting dogged a little bit, and I don't know if we'll get more movies in that world, and that bums me out.
Well, yeah, it's not getting a lot of love.
Yeah, it's like, what, 34 Metacritic? Like, it's the review. I don't think I've read a single positive review for it. They're still talking about them going forward with the Dark Tower TV show. Like, but probably after this performance, probably no more movies. I don't know. I'm thinking I still want to see Atomic Blonde. It got okay reviews, but it looks fun. I don't know if I'll go see it in theaters. I do want to see Detroit, which opened like last weekend, the Catherine Bigelow movie. Outside of Dunkirk, I don't know. I didn't see War for the Planet of the Apes. It got really good reviews, but I never really got into the new ones. Like, I watched the first one and I never really got it. I don't even think I've seen the second one, but I know that people love them and they get great reviews. So
I did see that and I really liked it.
The new one?
Yeah. It is amazing how much emotion Andy Serkis can get out of me as an ape that, you know, other movies can't get out with like humans. And so I'm always just fascinated by that. And he does an amazing job again. And that's a really good movie. I enjoyed that one a ton.
Man, I'm so far behind right now. Like, not even funny how far I'm behind on movies. I haven't seen anything since our last time together, since our Spider-Man conversation. But I forgot. Yeah, Planet of the Apes, another one. Man, yeah, a lot I need to catch up on. I need to just go spend a weekend at the theaters.
Yeah, you do, because once September starts, things are going to get real. Because next month we've got It. We got American Assassin, which is getting pretty decent buzz. It looks interesting. At this point, I'm just on board with anything Michael Keaton wants to do. We get Kingsman sequel next month. What else do we get next month? Whatever. What's that? The Tom Cruise one where he's like the CIA drug runner guy. I think that's in September. The one with Domhnall Gleeson and the Doug Liman. I don't know.
I think he doesn't know because he hasn't been to see any movies, so he hasn't seen the trailer.
Yeah, I haven't seen any trailers.
We get the Flatliners remake, which is not a movie.
I don't know why that needed to happen.
But did you watch the trailer for it? It doesn't even look like the original one. Like, it's turned into like some kind of horror movie or something.
That's what the first one was.
Well, it was a horror suspense movie. Yeah.
Well, suspense movie, but not quite. Like, did you watch the trailer for the new one? I don't feel like it's the same movie.
It's definitely the same movie.
When
was the last time you saw the original?
Last time you saw
that? Because the original, the premise of the original is straight up like med students flatlining themselves and then something.
Yeah, that part.
To haunt
them. Really, they bring stuff out.
They bring
of
stuff the, back from right. Like, beyond. Yes. That's
exactly. I do not remember that.
Yeah, because
I do not remember that.
It's because it was the 80s and they didn't have like the special effects.
Right, you were a little too focused on Julia Roberts, bro. We know.
It's actually, when I'm thinking about it now, it's probably been like 20 years since I've seen that movie.
Because what's that? It's Julia Roberts, Oliver Platt. Is it Kiefer Sutherland into that?
Kevin Bacon and Kiefer Sutherland.
Kevin Bacon, yeah.
It's a really good cast.
It's an amazing cast.
I'm not complaining about the first one. I agree that the unnecessary remake.
It did need another one, right? Yeah, we don't need another Flatliner. It's just re-release Flatliners in the theaters. I bet it would do better as a re-release than it will as a recreation.
Yeah. And then I know everyone wants to see next month, same weekend as it, everyone wants to see 9/11 because it looks fantastic. Have you guys not seen the trailer for 9/11?
I have not seen the trailer for that.
Oh my gosh. It looks really good. It's about five people who are trapped in an elevator in the World Trade Center's North Tower, starring Charlie Sheen, Whoopi Goldberg, Gina Gershon, Guzman.
Are you serious right now? No, Whoopi Goldberg and Charlie Sheen?
It's like the trailer came out a while back, and it's the worst looking thing I've ever seen in my entire life.
But no, for real, like Whoopi Goldberg and Charlie Sheen. And
yeah.
Like, and, oh my gosh, like who? Speaking of 20 years ago.
Here, wait. I will show you the movie, the trailer for it, the poster for it.
Doesn't Whoopi Goldberg have an Academy Award nomination?
She sure does.
Are you kidding me right now?
There you go, Buzz.
No, Gina Gershon and Louis Guzman. Man.
And Academy Award winner. It even says Academy Award winner on the thing. Academy Award
winner. Oh, my God.
No, I'm not even aware of this movie at all.
I'm only aware of it because the trailer came out and it got shared a lot just because people were like, what the fuck is this? And sure enough, that's what it is. So
I can see why. So other movie news, not immediate movie releases, but this week we did get our first images of Josh Brolin as Cable for Deadpool 2. What'd you guys think?
Looks about what I expected. I don't know. It's tricky because Cable was partially created by and drawn by Liefeld for so long that he, in your head, you only picture him as this giant hulking monstrosity of a man. And like, there's no way you can show that correctly. So
I want to point out, as before Tyler even got to the Liefeld name, both Adam and I were already laughing on mute because we knew exactly where this was going.
Oh, dude,
and we discussed it before on podcasts of our admiration for Liefeld. Would that be a nice way to put it?
I like Rob Liefeld. He has done some good stuff and he has created some very interesting characters. Like he did a lot of really interesting work on like New Mutants and X-Force early on his career. He helped create a lot of really cool characters, but he is a self-taught artist and you can see it a lot because the guy,
you know what this character needs? More pouches, more pockets.
I like the pockets and pouches thing. That was like a very much 80s and 90s comic book trope. Like I don't hate him for that. I'm more like his inability to draw feet.
I was going to say his tiny hands.
His hands, his feet, and his weird fucking torso. Like his, I think the iconic one is, let's see if it comes up when you first thing you.
While you're looking for that, the best comment I saw about the Cable thing was that, oh, you could tell this is a Liefeld cover because you can't really see his hands and they just stop at his shin. So you don't have to worry about it.
The iconic Rob Liefeld is, and if you Google Rob Liefeld, Captain
America. Is the Cable cover you're talking
about? No.
The Captain America one. Where his chest is like 3 million feet wide.
Let me pull it up. Give me 1 second.
Yeah, I know which one you're talking about. That'll be our image for our podcast episode.
This is like when everyone talks about Rob Liefeld, and this is like not one of his more egregious ones. I think it's just the most well-known one is this one.
So
but this is how he drew everyone. So
describing
like,
this image though is like the most amazing thing. So you have Captain America standing. You got his right side basically, so the shield and his right arm facing you. But somehow you have about 80 to 90% of his chest also facing you, and
you can see the whole star.
Yeah. But he's standing sideways, but you can see almost all the chests.
There's some cool memes around it. Like, let me find a couple of the memes that have come out. Oh, this is one of my personal favorites. This meme is a good one. I should just keep this
screen. Our love for Liefeld is never ending.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
And then I also really enjoyed this one.
For all those that don't get to see, it's funny stuff. The meme he just showed us was the one with Chris Evans with the
Photoshop tiny
Captain
to
America
shaped.
Face and then the big body. So kind of mixing the two from the first movie.
And then this one is fantastic.
I guess the anatomy of him, basically. So they removed the shield and then
the clothes,
removed the costume. So, I agree with you, Tyler. Like, nothing against his characters.
Just Google Rob Liefeld, Captain America, Rob Liefeld, Cable. If you do Rob Liefeld feet, there's also Rob Liefeld pouches. Rob Liefeld hands are also popular, but Rob Liefeld feet is probably my favorite because he cannot.
Everyone looks like
they're shaped like Captain America up top, but then they have like prima ballerina feet, like wearing point shoes. It's pretty fancy on point shoes. So it's pretty.
But I agree. Like, I mean, you don't have some fantastic characters without Liefeld. I mean, he, you're exactly right. He did play a huge role in, especially on the X Factor side, there in the 90s. And some of the characters I absolutely loved were what he was responsible for, drawing at least, maybe not creating all of them, but Cable and Deadpool most notably are ones that he's, I think, the most well known for in terms of, especially on the art side. There's tons of art you can find of them, but he chimed in on the creation. He's pretty pleased with the Josh Brolin's look. I think Josh Brolin looks badass.
They also released Domino about a week earlier.
Oh yeah, that's
Domino's
right.
Domino definitely got some backlash because like people weren't happy. I mean,
how, like, so there was complaints of that she's black. Like, was how white is Domino in the comic? Like, I don't feel like she's like.
Well, she's not a human color. She's washed out. Like, she's a mutant, and because she's a mutant, she has like this full on like her. She's literally, her skin is bone white with like this weird black eye patch around it. But since they used a black actress, they, instead of like washing her out in this weird, they just reversed the color and gave her a white patch around her eye and just kept her normal skin tone, which is fine, I guess. Like, but anytime you change any character, even a slightly bit, to comic books, especially if it involves a woman and or a person of color, internet shitheads are going to lose their fucking minds. So
yeah, but we're arguing it. That's the point you just made. We're arguing race over a character that really doesn't fit a race in the comics. Like, so that's where I don't really get it.
She's a mutant who, because of her mutantness, is like, doesn't have an actual skin tone. She's bone white.
Well, I think Cable's arm was not silver enough. It's just ridiculous. He's whitewashing all this stuff, or not whitewashing, I guess, changing whatever. I can't even go along with the argument here. It's so ridiculous. But anyways, yeah, so both characters revealed. Let us know what you think, of course, in our comments. We always welcome feedback on that. I think both look awesome. I love the way they promoted Domino too, when they shared the image. So in the first movie, you had Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool out on, was it a bearskin rug that he was laying out in front of a fireplace? And then for this one, they have her laying on basically a Deadpool rug. So in front of the fireplace, it was fantastic. And then Josh Brolin released, of course, this week, which Ryan Reynolds talking about. Doesn't everybody have that crazy time traveling uncle or something like that? So fun comments always found with Ryan Reynolds when it comes to this stuff. But Deadpool 2 next year, we're getting close. So not too far out, but we still have a few awesome comic book movies ahead before that. Hopefully awesome. We will see. But they look pretty awesome. But that's happening. Other movie news, more related to television or streaming so much. Just today, the day of recording, so Tuesday this week, Disney drops the bomb, says, we're pulling all our movies from Netflix. And remember, Rogue One's the first Star Wars movie to make it there and everything like that. And they're going to start their own separate streaming service. You're going to pay us other money. You don't get just to watch our stuff with Netflix. What do you guys think about that decision? I mean, an obvious one that was coming, but what do you think about it?
Yeah, I'm mostly surprised it took them this long to do it. If anybody were going to do it, I would have assumed it would have been Disney. So it's more just more surprised that it took this long. Also, I thought I saw that they were going to give it 2 years, so by 2019. So you get a year and a half still, and I guess they'll start moving their stuff off.
Yeah,
assume that'd be the new stuff would just never end up there.
Yeah, because that original contract was notoriously like convoluted around because they announced it and then nothing moved. And then there was still stuff on Amazon and things on other things. And then all the new stuff popped. But I don't know how much of that time window also, because then they had an out clause. Cause I think the buzz of originally when they moved their stuff on was that they were going to buy Netflix.
So yeah, I remember that rumor. I'm reading right now. The company said Tuesday that would end its distribution agreement with Netflix for new films, beginning with the 2019 calendar year theatrical slate. So yeah, they probably have something kind of agreement up through 2018 already written out.
But they had a pullout clause. The other thing is this doesn't, because it's a totally separate contract, talk about, and this may be one of the reasons the pullout clause is not told, what happens to like the joint Netflix productions, like the Defenders TV shows. Like what happens to...
That's a great point. I would assume those are on separate contracts, but you would have to assume Disney...
It's on a totally separate contract because Netflix like puts up, you know, half the money, pays for the... I mean, like they produce them and stuff. So like that's a whole different thing. But when you have none of your new Marvel, none of your new Disney comic content coming, but they're still making your TV shows for you. I don't know. The way this is going with... I mean, every content provider out there has tried to make their own. At some point, CBS is still pushing theirs big, and obviously ESPN and HBO, but it's getting to the point where we're back to the same problem as cable. Like, I'm just going to subscribe to them all and bundle them and sell them at a discounted price to my... I just fucking get a cable subscription again. At this point, it's like, I'm never going to get rid of Amazon Prime because I pay for Amazon Prime for other things and then just happen to get the service, and it's okay. It's not great, but they have some good, decent original shows. I pay for HBO Go. I pay through HBO through Amazon, which is basically the same as HBO Go. And I pay for Netflix. I don't have any interest. Like, there's some really good stuff on Hulu, but that's another... I mean, at this point, if let's say Disney's worst case scenario, best case scenario, it's like $10. So I'm at $10 there, $10 for Netflix. Technically, if you just say it by itself, I'm at close to $10 a month for Amazon. And then another, what, if you want commercial free, you're looking at $13 a month for Hulu, another $15 a month for HBO. Like, I'm already basically paying like a almost one, two, you know.
Yeah, three. You're almost to $60 there.
I'm already at 60. I'm already paying a cable bill again.
Yeah, that's a basic cable package. Yeah.
At the same time, though, you're watching content on your time, you know.
True. It's true. But at the same time, like, I'm getting to the point, especially because almost every distribution system out there has gotten wise to like how much money Netflix is making. Like, let's be honest, outside of the original stuff, I don't watch that much shit on Netflix anymore. Like, everything that I would want to watch, like, those contracts have expired because now Netflix has gotten priced out of their own market, which is why they're having to make so much original stuff, is because they can't get those sweetheart deals they were getting back when everyone was like, well, what the fuck is this streaming nonsense? Now everyone knows, and like, they can't get the good stuff. Like, even like the stuff that was been with them since the beginning of time is like all the original run episodes of Futurama have left now. Like,
no Doctor Who.
Scrubs is gone.
I mean, that was huge. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I watch original stuff on Netflix and occasionally go back and watch like the nostalgia old TV show. Like, I'll go back and watch like a West Wing or something like that. But I don't remember the last thing I watched that wasn't like a Netflix original. Or just happened, like, once in a while a new movie will pop up. Like, well, so like, I watched Rogue One the other night. That popped up on Netflix. I own that, so I didn't need to watch it on there. Because, like, that's the other thing, is half the stuff that, like, gets on Netflix that's not original, it's like, oh, I already, you know, saw that in movies, or bought it on Blu-ray, or bought it, you know. Netflix is going to live or die on their original stuff now, because none of the big names are going to sell them things at a price that makes sense anymore. I don't think. So Netflix is going to turn into basically like HBO Go.
Which, their original content's good, so I'm okay with this.
Well, it started good. I think now it's reached the level of, let's just throw as much shit at the wall as we can and see what sticks. Because there's a lot
some
of
stuff sticking, though.
There's a lot. I don't think people appreciate how much original TV shows there are on Netflix right now and how many of them are not good. And the original movies, too. They've been a lot of original movies that aren't fantastic. But there's enough good stuff, I think, to outweigh the bad.
So I started Ozark Sunday night, and I have one episode left now. I've watched quite a bit. Speaking of new shows that stick, I came with high recommendations from a few people. I tuned in really not knowing what to expect. You got like kind of an overall, like, this is kind of what's happening. Basically, Jason Bateman's character is a financial advisor, and he's money laundering for a drug dealer. Like, that's your basic understanding. And boom, right out the gate, like, things just get dirty and it starts, and it's been a fantastic show since. I absolutely love this show, and I've finished watching most of it in just a couple nights, and I've been pretty busy too. So that's saying a lot, because there's been a lot of sleep sacrificed for this. Have you guys checked it out yet?
He muted
himself. People keep talking about it. I live close to the Ozarks. I should probably watch it. I mean, the biggest buzz is, like, it's a little bit differently paced Breaking Bad-esque thing, but in the Ozarks as opposed to New Mexico, which sounds interesting. And they say Jason Bateman's really good in it, so.
This is Bateman definitely doing what
Bryan Cranston
did. Yeah, it definitely is. And it's very much different pace. That's the thing. You tune in expecting another one of these drug dramas or these drug lord dramas or stuff like this. And like I said, it right out the gate just goes. And it does not slow down at all. It is an intense show, and it's a fun show. And there's some parts, sometimes it's not so fun, but it's definitely interesting. I would say it's been able to use material that feels like it's done before and make it different. And so I appreciate that very much. So
I am intrigued by the trailer that came out for their new show that's coming in October, Mindhunter, about the FBI, like, profiler guys. Have you seen that trailer?
Yes. I thought you were also going to talk about the other one. What's the one with the drawing? Who drew all the dicks on the cars?
Well, I don't know about that one. I was talking about Mindhunter. I don't know what that one you're talking about.
The guys behind, I think it's Funny or Die, that they're the company that's putting behind it on this new Netflix original series. And it's a mockumentary about a kid who notoriously likes to draw dicks, and then somebody vandalizes all the cars in the parking lot. And so somebody's out to prove that he's innocent and he didn't actually do that to the cars.
So someone took a minor, like, throwaway line / subplot from Superbad and turned it into an entire television show.
Exactly.
Yeah, cool.
And it's set up like a mockumentary, so it actually looks kind of funny.
American Vandal, is that what it is?
Yes, that's it.
It's on this. I'm looking at the list of all, like, the original shows on Netflix, and yeah, there's a lot of them.
They do it.
I'm looking at a lot of ones that I've endorsed that aren't great. Glow was really good. Did you guys watch Glow?
Yes.
I want to watch Friends from College, just because the clips I've seen from it look ridiculous.
But that one's actually, I've heard good feedback on that one too. I'll have to check that one out after Ozark. But
it's got such a good cast.
There is so much. I agree. There's a lot that comes out, but there's still enough that's good that keeps me entertained. So, I mean, it's definitely no HBO content, but anyways, are you guys keeping up with Game of Thrones?
Yeah, things got real.
Adam's signaling mind blown. Yeah, Tyler's got a big old grin on his face. We won't go into too many spoilers because I get pissed because people, I don't understand. Like, there can be shows and movies that people can go weeks or months without spoiling anything. But when it comes to Game of Thrones, if you did not watch that episode on Sunday night, you are screwed. You are screwed. You are getting spoiled because for some reason, everybody has to spoil it. I've got like 10 people that I want to kick every Monday if I haven't seen the episode, because I'm like, I can't believe it, guys. And they get told every time they spoil it, and they still keep doing it. And it's like, how is this show? And everybody has the same complaint. It's not just me. And I just don't understand how this show is so much more spoiled than every other program in the history of television. But it is. It is.
Well, it's so easy to spoil because it always, like, especially this season, it's just like one big ass, like, big drop after another. Like, there's just, like, they're finally trying to tie all the threads together and things are getting spoiled left and right. I'm also kind of upset with a lot of you because I feel like those of us who knew what was going to happen for the first, like, 3 or 4 seasons did a good job of being like, hey, just figure it out, guys. And now you motherfuckers are ahead of us and now got to spoil it all. God, so angry.
When you say you guys, Adam and I aren't spoiling anything here.
No, it's fine. Just in general.
You're talking angrily to the audience. Just, I guess. For those of you in the audience, that was spoiling.
I'm indifferent for the most part to the spoilers. The show's been good enough. Like, you can tell me, like, what's going to happen and I'm still going to watch it. Like, it doesn't ruin it for me. So.
Well, and for most of it is stuff that builds up throughout the episode. So it's not like, you know, it's not like some stuff that people were saying Sunday night ruined anything for when I watched the episode and they show this wonderful little valley. I was like, oh, this is about to happen right now. Like, this is going down. And I turned to Laura. I'm like, oh, boy. Okay. And sure enough, it did. And yeah. So, I mean, you know, I'm with Tyler. I don't get super mad about it, but I also don't really pay a lot of attention to social media Sunday night to Monday, because I usually watch it Monday, sometime on Monday, usually over dinner. So I go on like a little 24-hour social media blackout, brownout mostly.
Good decision. But you got to pretty much go on a complete internet brownout, because it's not just social media. Like, I search Google News and I've got spoilers happening on Monday. It's crazy. But it's the show. Yeah, the show is fantastic right now. I think they're doing a wonderful job. Really, since last season, because they picked up where the books were done. And it felt like they were just starting to clean stuff up. So last season, they were axing off characters left and right, and things were kind of coming together. And then, like you said, Tyler, this season, we're really getting to the point to where we're almost done when you really think about it. It's getting to the point where it's almost there. And we're really starting to get things coming together, characters meeting, things happening, good action sequences, a lot of fun. So if you are checking it out, definitely let us know what you think. Spoiler free, of course, so anybody else reading the comments doesn't have to be angry. But yeah, we got, what, three more episodes left this season?
Three more episodes this season. No. Six episodes this season, I think.
No, I think it's seven.
Next season is seven.
I thought it was seven and seven.
Is it seven? I can never remember. All I know is next season, seven episodes with hour and a half long episodes, though.
Oh, really? They're going to hour and a half?
Like, each one's going to be essentially like a short movie.
Awesome. I'm cool with that. I can deal with that. Perfect. Game of Thrones that's pretty much the only show I watch. I don't want to say it in real time, but I still watch on a weekly basis, one episode at a time. Everything else now, I just take as much in as I can at once. So. Awesome. So all that started with our Disney conversation, Disney leaving Netflix. So a couple of years, big thing they're doing, Disney's doing, I think it's a very smart move. They're doing two separate streaming services, one for the sports and one for everything else, which is really smart, because I think having sports on demand as a service like that, I think it's going to be the future of that too, because ESPN's ratings are just continue to decline, as well as the other sports networks. So anyways, fun stuff going on there. All right. So we covered Netflix. We covered Josh Brolin, Domino, all the fun Deadpool 2 stuff going on. What's going on at the box office? Adam, why don't you, since I missed last week a little bit too, I'm not even sure where it's at. I'm pretty sure where we're at fantasy movie league wise. Why don't you give us a little rundown of how bad we're getting beat now?
Do I have to? I mean, Aaron's just winning. Can we just say that Aaron wins and not worry about it? So we are
not even finished the season. Aaron Blackman is the king.
He definitely wins, because he's already over a billion, and we're, you know, through 10 weeks, he's won every single one of them. And you know, usually by a pretty sizable margin.
I'm still calling steroids on this season.
It's some sort of performance enhancing thing. So he's way ahead for the year. It's sitting at Aaron at 1,072,000,000. I'm at 819,000,000. You're at 720,000,000. Last week hurt you, not setting your lineup. Rolling with the week before lineup. Didn't do so hot. It's not good. You and I are fighting for a second, and Aaron's just way ahead.
And you pretty much have second wrapped up too.
Well,
unless I have some amazing weeks,
you've got 3 weeks, right? And you know, if you could beat me by 30 million each week, you can make it happen. Your dreams can come true, Biggie. Don't worry. 33 million each week, there or thereabouts. It's
silver works for me.
Yeah. You're gonna have to pry it from my cold dead hands, Iggy. It's been fun. I enjoy losing to Aaron every week. That's good times. We need to get Tyler back in here so Tyler can win I'm equally happy losing to Tyler every week, so. But this week, you've got, you kind of already covered what's coming out. You got the new Annabelle sequel. I guess it's a prequel, like another prequel to one of the Conjuring movies. It's a prequel to a prequel of a Conjuring movie, so I don't know how that works. It takes place in the past. That's all I've got right now. And then the, you know, a kids movie, The Nut Job 2. So those are your two big openings this weekend. So probably I'm going to play a lot of old stuff. We'll see what happens. Probably making a bad decision.
So moving on from that, going into a little bit of comic book news, we do have one big announcement that ties to Netflix. So we should have brought it up earlier, but Netflix picking up Miller World. So Miller bold enough to say that it compares to the purchases, to the WB DC merger, and then the Disney buying Marvel. Not quite sure it's to that level, but his company is significant. He does have select titles that are not part of the deal, but he is known for stuff like Wanted, Kick-Ass, Kingsman. So those things are pretty significant. So he has another few series. So I think a lot more comic content coming from Netflix. But more specifically, they want the comic book company too. They don't want just the titles for movies or shows or anything like that, but they want a comic book company, which is interesting because as much as we like the comic book company and we want it to succeed right now, especially with Project Nerd Publishing, just throwing that out there. It's not the golden years of the comic book industry right now. It's not hugely successful. The big two are making their money in the theaters. They're making their, you know, they're taking losses on some of their titles, actually paying creators, artists and stuff at a loss to do that. So it's interesting how Netflix dove headfirst into the comic book industry here. Kind of interesting to see where this goes. A couple of head nods from these guys. So I think they're interested as well then. But
I don't know enough about the comic book industry. Everybody knows this. People listen to our comic. People listen to this podcast. They know that I don't know enough about it to have a super in-depth conversation about that.
I don't know. What's something in Millar world that you would like to see a TV show made of, I guess? Because I think everyone knows like the really successful ones, specifically Kingsman and Kick-Ass. But what else is there that you think you would make? What would you be interested to see? Anything?
We have American Jesus, but what's the newer? He has a newer superhero one. I honestly don't know too much about it, but it looks interesting. Hold on. It's Huck. Huck that came out, I think, a year or two ago.
Huck came out in 2015, and it's I've heard really good things about it. I've never read it.
Yeah. See, that's the thing. It looks like an interesting concept. Reborn sounds fascinating. Again, another one that I haven't actually read myself, but sounds really interesting. Reborn. It's basically it tells it's like when you die, you come back in a different world where you have to fight to like be able to stay in this world. So it's like you're brought back into like an almost like just a battle royale type situation. So very interesting concept there. And then of course I think, which is really popular is like I said, American Jesus is one that's popular that could be interesting on what they do with it. I think it's interesting that I didn't see any details on money. I know they kept some of the details kind of under wraps still on this. I think it's interesting that there are not a lot of significant titles under this publishing brand outside of the ones that are already contracted separately for movie rights. So like Wanted, Kick-Ass and Kingsman. So it is interesting that they did dive in to bed with somebody like this when you have, and maybe it was the price, you know, maybe price points for things like IDW, things like that would have been too much. So maybe it was there, but it'll be interesting to see what they do. And I wouldn't, yeah, like I said, I wouldn't mind seeing. It's always interesting to see some of these stories that sound awesome that even though I haven't had a chance to read them yet, be awesome if I can see them in miniseries or television series too, then can introduce me to it. And if I really like it, then be like, okay, I really do need to check this out now. Cause just like TV comics, there's so much going on. It's hard to keep up with all of them.
Yeah, I'd like to see, because I've read some and not all, but I'd like to see Chrononauts. I think that one would be fun. I think that one could be a lot of fun. And I wouldn't be opposed to them revisiting Wanted and doing a better version of that than what the movie was, because the movie was pretty bad, but it's a fun comic book, and I think it could make a cool TV series.
Agreed.
With less Angelina Jolie and weird bullet-bending scenes.
The bullet bending, like, that was what that movie was all about, but I don't know.
Yeah, pretty sure that was the whole plot, yeah.
In other comic news, you do have Wet Hot American Summer, which also on Netflix for a series, will now have a comic book series out, so that's hitting the comic pages. It's crazy how that's going to be a boom. A boom does a lot of titles that are, pick up things like that, but it's interesting how big, I don't know if it's big, but how much Wet Hot American Summer is happening again, if that makes sense. It just seems to be everywhere again, or for the first time even more so. But something I'm excited about is the Shadow and Batman crossing over again. So two awesome characters in a crossover thriller series, like mystery thriller. Yes, please give me more. So that should be fun.
I like that one. To me, that one makes a lot of sense because I mean, you got the world's greatest detective and the Shadow. Those were very, always seemed very kind of heavy on the detective side, you know, your crime noir type stories there with the Shadow. And so that one, I like that a lot, actually.
Should be good. So that's what's going on there. All right. And as we are winding down on time, I want to give us a few minutes, because it's been a month since they've been able to talk about it. So I know you guys probably want a few minutes dedicated to books here. What's going on in the book world. So what are you guys reading?
I'm working my way through the Dark Tower series, actually. So first time reading through those. I'm on the second book, Drawing of the Three. I read Gunslinger way earlier this year. I'm sure you can, I might have read it while we were on break. I read Gunslinger.
One of the breaks.
I went back and revisited Gunslinger and then read the working on the Drawing of the Three now. So I'm really liking those. I just finished a bunch of the Star Wars books though, and really enjoyed what they did with the bloodlines at the end of everything and the Aftermath series. So run of three books there that takes place in between Return of the Jedi and The Force Awakens. So there's a lot of interesting story that takes place in there. So those four books take place all in there. So you got Bloodlines and then the Aftermath series.
I've read a couple things recently. I finished The House of Shattered Wings, which is the first book in the I don't even know what the series is called. I don't know if the series has a name, but the first book in the series by Elliot Dubodard, and it's pretty interesting. It takes place in this weird, weird magical destroyed London. There's some weird magic and things going on, fallen angels and interesting stuff like that. I think I brought it up a few weeks ago when we talked about it. I also read the second book in the Draconis Memoria by Anthony Ryan, who wrote the Raven Shadow series, which I really enjoyed. I recently read the first three books of The Great Coats by what's his name? Vincent Castle. They were okay. John Scalzi, who I like a lot, who wrote like Red Coats and the Old Man's War series and stuff like that. He wrote the first book in a new series called The Collapsing Empire, which ends in a way like it's very much the first book in a series. Like it ends in a way and it's kind of like, really, come on, don't leave me like that. Like I wish there had been more to it, but it was fun. I don't know what else is going on. I'm trying to think of other things I haven't mentioned recently, cause I haven't had a ton of time lately to read. I don't know if I've ever talked about it on the podcast, but the Johannes Cabal series by Jonathan L. Howard, the Necromancer. I love those books. I finished those a couple months ago for the first time. I know I've talked about Robert Jackson Bennett's Divine City series. The most recent one, City of Miracles, was fantastic. I read that this year. What else? The Wayfarer series by Becky Chambers. I picked those up because the second one is one of the nominees this year for the Hugo for novel. And it was really good. It closed in Common Orb, but the one before it, A Long Way to a Small Angry Planet, was a lot of fun. I don't know. There's a lot of books that are coming in the next 2-3 months that I'm very excited about. So hopefully I will be able to get back to reading here soon.
I haven't picked up a book in through most of July. I gave up on the graphic novel. Was it almost said American Gods. The Wicked and Divine. I love Kieran Gillen's stuff. It's just so, there's too much. It's just too much going on. And I don't know. The first couple volumes were all right. I think volume 3 is where it started to lose me. But other than that, Chasing Arrows, a book I backed on Kickstarter, which is a really cool concept. Issue number 2 is on Kickstarter now, but I did get issue 0 and 1 in just about last month. And of course, we have Billy finally in full quantities of it. So those have been going out. So I think about 4/5 of the packages are out finally. So there's still, I don't know, nobody will be able to see this, but for Adam and Tyler who can't see it, all that, those boxes and envelopes behind me there, fun stuff. So Billy, which we're working on deciding if Billy Volume 2 will be our October Kickstarter this year. So we might be ready. It's already written and the art started. So we might be able to get that moving pretty quickly. But yes, you guys always laugh at me, but comics do count as reading.
Oh, Tyler, I picked up, actually Laura got me for my birthday, Good Omens.
Oh, fantastic.
Pratchett and Gaiman. So I'm excited about that. That I don't know when I'm going to read it, but I'm really excited about reading it.
So it's a fantastic book. It's super fun and hilarious. And it was the book that, that's actually the book that introduced me to Gaiman, because I was not, like, I didn't read Sandman until I was way too young for it when it was coming out, so I didn't read it until way later, and I read it after that because I was already a big Pratchett fan, and then picked that up and started reading Gaiman, and then like tore through everything Gaiman had ever written right after that. But I mean, that's a really fantastic book, because nothing's better than Pratchett. You get a little bit of both of their humor in it, and Pratchett's death is definitely like a main character. Oh God, it's a really fun book, because it's basically a retelling. Yeah, really, like, and as someone, and you'll appreciate it even more because it's almost a straight up, like, and it's lost on a lot of people because it's a story about the end of the world, but it's basically a retelling of The Omen, like the original movie, The Omen, but where everything goes horrifically wrong. And like, there's like multiple storylines going on. And one of them is obviously the Antichrist, who, like, the switch at birth went horribly wrong and is growing up in like suburban Britain, like in the countryside and stuff like that. And the two people who are supposed to be bringing about the apocalypse are these, as an angel and demon, who've been living on Earth for millennia and have kind of gotten comfortable and kind of like it. Maybe they don't want to so much, you know, bring about the end of the world. And then like a witch hunter and a witch, and just, oh, it's so much fun. And the four horsemen of the apocalypse, obviously, it's,
oh yeah, I read the little blurb, and I was, because we were at the, so we moved recently, and so we have a Books a Million here, and so we just kind of cruise over there when we don't, you know, we don't know what we're doing, we're out eating or whatever, and, you know, spend 30 minutes just walking around, picking up books, reading the back covers and stuff like that, and that one jumped out off the shelf at me, and I picked up and looked, I'm like, oh, that looks pretty cool. But I was reading, you know, I just started The Gunslinger again. I'm like, I'm in the Dark Tower, I'm not buying a new book until I read through some of these. And so that was it was my birthday present from her.
Did I can't remember, because I gave it to her and told her to take it. I don't know. Did she take my copy of The Demon Haunted World by Sagan?
Probably, but I'm not positive on that.
I was looking and I couldn't remember where it was. I think I gave it to her. I don't know.
Yeah, it's possible. I'll double check the bookshelf.
It doesn't matter. She'll enjoy it, but I don't know. What else is, I don't know. There's a lot of books coming that aren't here yet that make me sad, but I'm going to read the second book of The Machineries of the Empire by Yoon-Ha Lee. I really liked the first one, Raven Stratagem. So the first one, Nine Fox Gambit, was crazy and weird and hard sci-fi and weird and math, and I don't know. I can't explain it, but it was strange and crazy. So there's lots of things out there to read. Look at my Goodreads page if you need recommendations. I put them all on there. So
there you go. Awesome. Well, that's about it for episode 136. We count those book lines there as our closing thoughts, because Tyler just starts making lists. We just starts making lists and takes up all the time. I don't know. Adam, did you have something else you wanted to chime in on?
No, I mean, we're a month away from Destiny 2. If you haven't pre-ordered, they've got good pre-order packages. Look them up.
Where are you pre-ordering from, and what'd you get with it?
I pre-ordered from the PlayStation Store. I got the digital version. It has class-specific items within the game, as well as exclusive shaders and stuff like that. I mean, in the pre-order, I got the $100 version, so it's all the DLC for the first year and a bunch of like specific stuff. And then since I've played since year one of Destiny 1, I also get a bunch of extra stuff for that as well. So
I need to pre-order that. I also got back into Diablo 3 recently because the Necromancer expansion finally came out, and it's really fun.
That's what I was going to ask. You said you hadn't had much time to read. I was going to ask how much time you've had to play Diablo.
It's pretty fun. I go back. Diablo is one of those things that I'll play for like a week or two, like in a season, and get really into it and like way level up, and then leave it alone for 6 months and then go back to it. But the Necromancer brought me back for a minute. So
here the Necromancer just walks through and just drips death onto everything, and it's...
Yeah, well, if you play him as a season character and get his season, like his first season set, like armor, like his set bonuses, like you can do a lot of stuff, because you can get to the point where you have an entire army of skeletons just preceding you through everything and just wiping the floor with everything.
There you go. We got video games in too, so everything's covered this week. So awesome. That's it for episode 136. Of course, you can check us out over at projectnerd.com, pnpublishing.com, and of course on all the social medias, or some of the social medias, you know, the ones that we feel capable of, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I don't know. I'm a little old for Snapchat, but anyways, So hopefully we'll be back next week. I'm not making any promises at this point. Cause we haven't held to that promise here lately. So, if all goes well, we will be here next week for episode 137. But until that time, same nerd time, same nerd channel. We'll catch you next week.